It is a great day to be together. I love looking out, seeing your smiling faces. Y'all look to the person on your right and say good morning. And look at the person on your left and say good morning. And do you know that only one in three people in America is good looking? So if you look to the right and left and it's not either one of them, congratulations. And so we are glad that you are here. And speaking of some good-looking smiles, I wanted to bring you this greetings from our Rogers family over in Belgium, Bulgaria, Bolivia, Bulgaria. That's the other sides of the world. Lana and Kaiser and Kenley and Merritt. Don't know where Lucas must have taken the picture, maybe. I don't know. But just great smiles. Always love to share good smiles. There's a brand new fresh smile. Just beautiful. Look at Jerry. Lost his razor that morning. It's okay. And this smile. Where's Dan? Is Dan with? We turned on the water. There's some new big water thing going on in our city. And Dan pumping that in. And then just this pretty bag. What a great fish. All right. And so anyway, just some good pictures to share. On the back wall, we have a board. It's got names of every one of our SMA students. We have one of the most incredible groups of kids that come into these hallways every Monday through Thursday, really every Monday through Friday. And we want to just ask you to take a name and to be praying for that name. It's on the back wall. You just go and pick one name and just ask God to bless that child and their family. That's only a first name, so you won't really know who they are or what, but to know that somebody is praying for them and to know that you are investing in the lives of our students. That school exists for a lot of different reasons, but I love the tagline that says, leading little feet to Jesus. Because we know that truly if we are leading little feet to Jesus, that we're also impacting those families that are surrounding them. And we're thankful for that opportunity as a school. So be sure to pick one of those up before you leave today. I want to play a little game. It's kind of called What's It Known For? All right, you ever think about that? What are different things known for? All right, what are we known for? Where are we right now? Chicago. Some of you have been to Chicago. You thought it was a bullet that Chicago is known for. No, it's the bean. All right, it's the bean. And so that's Chicago. The Bears, the bean, the Bulls, and the bullet. Okay, what are we known for? China. Look at you educated young children on the front. All right, very good, Wesley. Where are we? Australia. Isn't that awesome? I mean, it's like instantly you're rocking it out. It's, oh yeah, that's got to be Australia. Koalas and kangaroos. What about this one? Did somebody say pizza? I heard that. Yeah, yeah. I mean, the whole city is known for one architectural, you know, thing. That the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Where are we now? Paris. From Pisa to Paris. And also, what about this? A little harder. Ah, Paris, Tennessee, the world's biggest fish fry. Also a Paris, right? They have their own Eiffel Tower. I think it's made out of probably paper clips. But Paris, Tennessee, for sure, for sure. What is it known? There are some things that just immediately by a single image, by a single word, you have this relationship. You have this thought that goes, oh yeah, that's got to be this. That's got to be this place. That has to be this thing. And I think about it and I'm like, what is it known for? Well, here we go. What is it known for? What's Spring Meadows known for? What is Spring Meadows known for? If you were to encounter someone from our community that never walked into these doors and they were to see the sign driving by, oh yeah, that's that sign out on the road. What are you known for? I think a lot of people in our community know us for the academy in the back. I think people that visit and have been in worship with us, they understand, they know us for the heartfelt worship and the joy that kind of is in this place when we gather to worship. Sometimes it's people have known us for the breakfast for Santa or the trunk or treat, or thousands have walked through the doors for different sort of events like that. What are we known for? What is it that Jesus, looking at his followers, would say to them and point out, listen, when the world thinks about you, this is what it is that you should be known for. Above everything else, this is what you are to be known for. You know, tragically, I think in our world, those that are Christ followers or claim to be followers of Jesus are not always known for and recognized by this. And I think that is a heart problem that resides in those that are exhibiting anything but the love of Christ to the world around them. It's not, the problem is not Jesus, and the problem is not the message of Jesus. The problem is not even the church of Jesus. The problem is when those that follow Jesus don't let Jesus be the Lord in their life. And they don't allow Christ to be their ultimate motivating factor and feature in everything that they do. I think about Jesus, and I think about love. I think about these words where Jesus, at the end of his ministry, is giving this new commandment, he says. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. And here's what Jesus says. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. You know, I think about that, and I think about these words, and the new commandment, that was a command that had been over and over kind of discussed. The newness of this command was when Jesus says, just as I have loved you. It was the standard by which he laid out. I shared before that we often talk about the golden rule, do unto others as you'd have. This is the platinum rule. The idea that says, you love just as Jesus modeled love for us. And I think about that. And so as we begin this morning a newer series entitled One Another, we're going to spend, thank you, Travis, we're going to spend some time together doing some studies of what does it mean for us to be a one another family, to exhibit the one another's that Christ modeled for us in this life. There are over 50 different times that you see that phrase, one another, in Scripture. About 50 times he pointed to his apostles and he said, I want you to feel or say or do these things to one another. The one another's then are earthly dramas of heavenly realities. They are the love of Christ played out on 10,000 stages. I love that Scott Hubbard quote. The love of Christ played out on 10,000 stages. Famous German theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer spoke to this idea when he said, our community with one another consists solely in what Christ has done both to both of us. This is true not merely in the beginning, as when we were saved. He said, as through the course of time, something else were to be added to our community. It remains so that all the future and to all eternity, I have community with others. I shall continue to have it through Jesus Christ. The more genuine and the deeper our community becomes, the more will everything else between us recede. You see what he's saying is that the deeper and deeper our community in Christ becomes, the more and more recedes the differences that we have with each other. Maybe it's, I grew up in Mississippi, or you grew up in New York, or you grew up in... those differences begin to recede away when it's deeper and deeper in the community with Christ. The difference in this and that, those things kind of recede. And the more clearly and purely will Jesus and His work become the one and the only thing that is vital between us. We have one another only through Christ. But through Christ, we do have one another, holy and for all eternity. There was a fellow by the name of Sebastian Younger. He wrote a book called Tribe, on Homecoming and Belonging. And in this book, he talks about the ideas of the closeness that are formed between those people who come back from military operations. They've been in war together, and he talks about the bond that exists between them that really seldom ever comes close to that. He weaves these personal anecdotes, and he examines all of these things, but the thing that comes back more deeply than anything is that the evidence of a society becoming stronger post-war period times. And a lot of that comes from the community that comes back with those soldiers that serve together. He contrasts it with this period in our current era where we're all characterized by individualism and disconnection and against what, emphasizing that there's such an adverse consequence on our mental state of being and our societal fabric. I think about it like this. He made a few of his quotes. He says this, that in our society, he said, the opposite of addiction is not sobriety. The opposite of addiction is connection. We are wired to be social beings, to live in close-knit communities where we can rely on one another. In modern society, we've traded away communal ties for material wealth and individual pursuits. Yet deep down, we still long for that sense of tribe. He will make the point in the end of his book that community is not just where we live, but it's the people who truly see us and accept us for who we are. As we talk today about the first of several one another's that breathe life into the community that is the body of Christ, I want us to think about loving one another. There are so many passages on loving one another, you can't even see them, right? I mean, they are covered up. But in our world, we have one another's. Too much so many times in the world's version of one another. It's community found in, you want to be where everybody knows your name. Sorry, kids. Maybe you'll catch that one on the replays, the reruns one day. Too often it's at the local bar where you find your community, or at the group that you hang out with, or at other things that you find almost like in the midst of your misery, you find community. We live in a world with its own sets, one another brokenness, one another enmity, one another manipulation or selfishness. But the church exists to show a different way of life. A new commandment, Jesus says, I give you to love one another. John 13. In John 15, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Going on, Jesus will say, you have, in John chapter 15, this command, so that you will love one another. Romans 12, love one another with a brotherly affection. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. Romans 13:8. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you. 1 Thessalonians 4, 9 through 10. Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing by all the brothers throughout Macedonia. So we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more. Over and over, the word comes back from Jesus, from the apostles, from the letters, to the churches. Having purified your souls by your obedience for the truth, with a sincere and brotherly love one for another, earnestly pray for each other from a pure heart. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. One of the things that I think the world is longing for and looking for is a place to be loved. It's a love that is under the condition and under the headship of Jesus. It's because Christ has loved us that we call others in and say, this is where you can be loved. It's a love that is under His statutes. It's not saying, anytime we talk about love is unconditional, but you can't love Him back without His conditions. Yes, He loves you no matter what you've done, no matter where you're from, no matter what your situation is, but the love that He's calling you to experience is under the condition of we obey those things that He has commanded. We live because we see His love. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. You see, it's something that continues to grow us and make us into those that Christ has called us to be. I love this passage where Paul is praying the prayer. We've studied this not too long ago. But Ephesians chapter 3, he says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being." And then notice this. "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power together with all the Lord's people to understand and to grasp how high and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ." I want you to think about that phrase. A love that is wide enough. You know, we're called to love one another. I want to love with a love that is wide enough. What do you mean, Chuck? Wide enough. You know, John 3:16, the scripture says God so loved the world that it's wide enough to be seen across, that it reaches far enough that it's not just limited to different segments of people. People that look like me, that talk like me, that smell like me, that live like me, that go to the school in the same... No, that my love is wide enough to reach that we love one another. That it's long enough. What do you mean long enough? Well, 1 John 4:18, this idea that it's long enough to last through all of eternity. Listen to what John writes in this letter when he writes these words. 1 John 4, verse 18. He said, "By this love is perfected with us," verse 17, "that we may have the confidence for the day of judgment, because as He is also, so we also are in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love." You see, the long enough part is this idea of that we're going to be loved into and throughout all of eternity. That as Christians, we're going to be able to love each other throughout all of eternity. But he says, if you can't love like that, if you're not loving each other like that, then he said, you need to check your relationship with the Lord. If that's not where my heart is, that's a me and Jesus problem more than it is a me and you problem. And so I want to check that. If I'm having love issues with other people, I need to come back to God and say, God, help me to experience your love again. Help me to know the depths and the heights of that love. It's deep enough. It's deep enough to reach down to even the worst of sinners. That's God's love. Romans 5 and 8 says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God doesn't wait. So many times people come and they're like, I don't know if I should become a Christian yet, or I'm trying to get all my things together. I got to get some stuff together before I can come to the Lord and try to live for Him. No, you can't get your stuff together. That's God's job. We've come to the Lord with our mess. He offers us forgiveness and the plan moving forward. It's deep enough to reach down to even the worst of our sins. And it's high enough to take us to heaven. John 14 and verse 1 and 2, when Jesus is preparing to leave this earth, He looks at His disciples and He says to them, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house there are many, many rooms. And if it were not so, I would have told you, and I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, that where I am, there you may be also." You know, I think about love one another, and I think about an image that I was blessed to see this week. Many of you guys know the tall fellow that usually sits with us is Mia's boyfriend, Eli. And Eli grew up at Jackson Heights at the congregation just down the road toward Columbia. And Eli's grandma, Aloha, has been battling cancer for several years. And she left this life to inherit her eternal reward just this weekend. It's been a tough thing, and as I thought about this idea of one another, I thought about a love that I saw this week that was pretty special. You see, I had the chance to stop by the hospital earlier in the week and to go in and to sit in the room, but it wasn't just, though Miss Aloha was on hospice and not really able to converse, or really she was just resting. They were trying to keep her pain-free. The thing that I observed was not only was her daughter there, there was Miss Aloha had grown up in the Tennessee Orphans Home. We call it the Tennessee Children's Home, but it was the Tennessee Orphans Home. And in the room with her, this 70-plus-year-old lady, sat one of the girls that had been in the orphans home with her, who was married, her husband was also in the orphans home. And there around the room was another lady that had been a child at the orphans home with them, and another lady that had been a child with them at the orphans home some 60 plus years ago. And I saw this community of a family, that not only were they a family in Christ, not only were they sisters in Christ, they were also sisters from this time and period of hardship in their life. And though they were as little children, they grew up together, they learned to love one another and support one another, and that love continues on to this day, even to the point of, I'm going to sit in the room with you, really with your family. Even though you may not know that we're here, we're here. And I saw in that what it means to love wide enough and long enough and deep enough and high enough. We're called to love one another. Patrick Morley, writer, said this, "The height of our love for God will never exceed the depths of our love for another." We've got to work this and get this right. You think about Jesus and His teaching, and how that in Luke chapter 10, the great came to Him asking, "Hey, what is the greatest commandment?" And He said, "Well, you love the Lord your God, and you love your neighbor as you love yourself." He's talking about how do we love one another. And in Luke chapter 10, Jesus, this beautiful imagery of what it means to love one another. He tells the story. There was one who was robbed and beaten. And there laying by the road, he says a man had fallen. They had departed, leaving him half dead. By chance, a priest had come down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place, he saw him too and passed by on the other side. You see, loving one another is not just seeing the needs. Loving one another is not just knowing that something ought to be done and hoping that someone will do something. Loving one another is not saying that I have something more important going on than to love you right now. The Levite passed on the other side, but a Samaritan, a racially different person, a person with a different religious background, a person with a different source of life, came by. And as he journeyed, he came to the place where the man was, and he saw him, and he had compassion. Compassion, it's been said that that's when I feel your pain in my heart. It's when I feel your pain inside my heart. I try to understand what it is that you're going through. I try to see and feel your situation in my flesh. You see, that's what Jesus says real love is about. It's about trying to understand what someone else is feeling. And he went to the man. It's not just seeing something, it's doing something. He bound up his wounds. He addressed the hurts. He addressed some of the things that had gone on in his past, in the beating, and he poured oil and wine on him. He tried to help with the pain, and then he set him up on his own animal, and he brought him to an inn, and he took care of him. And the next day, he took out 2 denarii, and he gave it to the innkeeper, and he said, "Take care of him, and whenever I come back, whatever more you spend, I will repay you." And then he asked the question, "Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor?" And the rich religious leader said, "The one to whom showed the man mercy." He couldn't even say the other guy's name because of his racist heart, maybe. Because of his bitterness and his shame in answering the question. He goes, "The one to whom showed him mercy." See, what we learn is that love is not always easy. Love is not always neat and tidy. Sometimes it's messy. Sometimes when you love someone and you're loving someone for the cause of Christ, it can be messy. It can be difficult. But the Samaritan models what it means to love like Jesus loves, to love one another. I think about that. I think about a friend of mine, Ken Yearwood. We were talking. He said, "Chuck, have you ever thought about the missing character in the Good Samaritan?" I kind of scratched my head, and I was like, "What do you mean, the missing character?" Ken's 80-something years old, traveled with us to Brazil. Go get her. Been a doctor all his life, teaches now as he travels. He said, "Have you ever thought about the missing character?" I said, "Who?" He said, "The innkeeper." He said, "Nobody ever talks about the innkeeper." He says, "Sometimes we look at this and we think, well, I'm supposed to be either the priest, Levite, or Good Samaritan." And that's true, but it's all, he said, one guy I read talked about how that Christ was the one that came to our rescue. Christ is the one who binds up our wounds, who takes us, who paid the price for us, and he leaves us with the innkeeper. And he says, what if the innkeeper is us? And he's saying, you take care of her until I get back. I brought her to the church broken and wounded, and I paid the price for her. I paid the price for her situation and what she's going through, and I'm trying, you take care of her until I return. And I thought, wow. Love one another. You see, the only way we show our love for God is really by loving one another. And you see, as we close this morning, I want to ask you, how well are you doing? How well are we doing with loving each other? I think we do a pretty good job when it's just us. I think those are the easy folks. Some of us, I know I'm easy sometimes. I know sometimes I'm not so easy to love. Just ask Natalie. And, you know, the reality is we all are that way. But the greater question is, how are we doing in loving the world around us to help them see the love that is in Jesus? You see, we can't know how to love until we've experienced God's love for ourselves. And the beauty of a time like this is we come together and we challenge one another, but we also call each other back into, it's just as was reminded to us, this is a memory, this is a reminder of the most important things. This is the time when we come together and we say, don't forget. Don't ever forget that you are loved. Don't ever forget how much God cares for you. Don't ever forget that God has a plan for your life, that there is hope for your life, that there is a future for your life. Don't ever forget that no matter what you've done in the past, that God is still here and going, I still love you, come back. I want a relationship with you more than you can imagine. And no matter what the past of your life holds, God says, don't worry, I still have more to the story. Let me help you write it. And let's finish this thing together. You see, the gospel is a call to us that says, I love you this much, and I was willing to go to the cross for you. And this morning, if you don't know that love, and you're wondering about what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus, and asking about how it is that I become a follower of Jesus, I want to tell you something. We would love to talk to you about that. We'd love to share with you the good news of Jesus' death and burial and resurrection and point out the ways in which we believe that and how He calls us to leave the life of sin and how we actually have a spiritual new birth, that we're baptized into Christ and we're raised to walk in a new life. We'd love to talk to you. We'd love to share that with you. You may just want to have a prayer with somebody. We've got our elders that'll be on the back wall and folks that would join you. If you just want to reach out to somebody and say, would you pray with me this morning? Just sitting right next to you, that one person that wasn't the most handsome or the most beautiful sitting next to you a minute ago, you looked at them. Reach out and just say, hey, would you pray with me this morning? I'm struggling. I need some help. We love you, and we want you to know God loves you. And we're thankful that you're here. And we sing this song together today to encourage you that if you don't know Him, you need to. There's no better person to know in this world. Would you come together as we stand and as we sing? Yeah.